Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Into another hour, Sam and Greg in the Kia Studios, nine floors up.
Good morning, Georgia.
And we got Ken, the best producer in the tri-state area, on the other side of the glass.
You're getting there.
All right.
By the way, we are here right now in a spot that's normally occupied by Dan Kamal and Dr. Dale Yake doing Sports Insider.
Yes.
They are not here.
Yeah.
And I can tell you where one of them is.
Where is one of them?
One of them is jogging through Central Park right now.
What in the world is he doing there?
And you know who that is. It ain't Dan Kamal.
James
not
Bond.
Mr. Triathlon.
It's James Bond.
James Bond is jogging through Central Park. He's listening to us right now, Dr. Dale Yake, and he wanted to remind me, yes, Vince Evans didn't wear number 12. So I'm getting it from David Archer, and I'm getting it from Dr. Dale.
How about that?
Anyway, this has been the first time we've been on the other side of the same side of the glass for a few weeks.
Wow.
All this stuff, and we got to talking about, well, I didn't really get a chance to, and I realize it's a week old, get your thoughts on how Wimbledon ended, because you haven't been on since then, but we have to move on to what's next.
Yes, absolutely.
We have to move on to what's next.
But you know what? It's still tennis.
It is still tennis.
And it's here in our town.
And it looks a little bright and shinier than it has in the past,
hasn't it? It's got a different look. We're talking about the BB&T Atlanta Open, and joining us now on the WaitForIt.com hotline is tournament director Eddie Gonzalez, who is at Atlantic Station. At the course. Eddie, good morning to you.
Morning.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Doing great because it's a big week for tennis here in Atlanta. It's always a big week for tennis, but this is the exception because the tour comes to town, and we kept the event at Atlantic Station, but we got some new things, new features for people this year. Eddie, tell us about it.
Well, yeah, we're very excited. Being the first tournament back in the United States on hard courts after Wimbledon and being a part of the Summer U.S. Open Series, so kicking up those series of tournaments in the U.S. that culminates in New York. Atlantic Station has been just such a great venue for us, having the restaurants and the shops and the parking, and what's going to make it even better this year is the fact that we're literally moving 20 feet across the street, going from 2 acres to 5 acres. So what does that mean for our fans? More shade, more air conditioning, more activation. And then, our tagline is ATL Tennis Party, and that's really what we want to be, is a party and a tennis match breaks out. And, Ken, you've been out here, so you've seen how we try to make that happen, and this year it'll even be more of a reality.
Hey, Eddie, I remember when the rendering was a done deal and folks in Atlanta got a chance to go online and look at the flyby or fly-through, if you will, of Mercedes-Benz Stadium to get an idea what that was going to look like. You got a bright, shiny new location over there. Is there a way for people to go and see? And is it available, some sort of aerial view of the new location?
That's a great question. Yeah, since we started, what's really cool about what we do, everything we do is temporary. So we build a world-class stadium in less than 30 days, and then we're out of the venue 3 weeks on the backside. And so when fans come, they have no clue that it's temporary. But on our website, we've been doing a weekly time-lapse, and actually yesterday we did our final lapse to see the stadium come to fruition. And so that's been very popular. I encourage your listeners to go check it out. More importantly, I encourage them to come check out the tournament. If you've never been before, I can promise you, you're going to have a great time. It's not just because you're a tennis fan. It's so many of the fun things we've got going on. We've got a great Coke activation, partnering with our friends at Atlanta Hawks and Atlanta United. basketball, soccer, and tennis, all three being global sports, and Coke being great partners of all three of our local teams. So a fun activation where players can shoot hoops, kick soccer balls through a net, and play a little table tennis. So that's just one example of one new thing we've got. And then we're bringing a ninja activation this year, which is going to be a lot of fun. We're all about health and wellness and healthy, active lifestyles, which tennis is all about. Ninja promotes that as well. So another fun activation that maybe we have you guys out there and do a ninja challenge between you two.
Ah, that sounds like fun. Greg, you up for that?
I just want to get you on the court, man, because I've been saying I'll dust you as soon as we get out there. You play on tennis. You're known for the tennis guy, but I'm going to surprise you with my game.
Okay.
Don't worry about the ninja stuff. I'm not going to pull a muscle trying to be Bruce Lee and kung fu fighting and all that stuff. But I'll get out there and maybe pull a hamstring or something. As long as I win, that's all I care about.
We'll have to come and get you off the court. Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Eddie Gonzalez, tournament director of the BB&T Atlanta Open, which gets started today with the qualifying rounds and Kids Day over at Atlantic Station. What can people expect to see when they come over to the tournament today, Eddie?
Well, thanks to our friends at Cigna. Today and tomorrow is Kids Weekend, so kids 16 and under get in for free. You just need an adult for supervision, and you know, otherwise tickets start at $10 today. But Sam, you're right. Our first ball gets struck today at 10 a.m., and none other than Atlanta's own Donald Young is going to play our first match on our stadium court. So, you know, last year's in our main draw, but he's had a little bit of a tough year, so he's having a battle in through the qualifying. But we wanted a local Atlanta ATP pro to kick it off, so Don will be kicking it off. And yet another young player from the University of Georgia, Trent Bride. He qualified in through a local tournament that we have, and he plays today. And another kid that is on tour that played at Georgia Tech, Kevin King. So a lot of good Atlanta connections today, along with some other young Americans.
Eddie Gonzalez, tournament director of the BB&T Open, joining Sam and Greg here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Eddie, you got me thinking about something, and I want to ask you a question moving forward, because you mentioned how happy this tournament is to be the one right after Wimbledon, and you get the players that you do, but mostly men. But the thing that we get regularly from our listeners is the tournament that the match that people want to see, at least over the last few years, seems to be that women's match that kicks things off, which tomorrow will feature Venus Williams. And my question to you is, moving forward and given where this tournament is located in the schedule, how long before we start to see men and women play part of the BB&T?
Well, Greg, thanks for bringing that up. We really want to be unique and different than any other tournament in the world, and that's one way that we do that. We're the only men's tournament in the world that kicks off with a women's exhibition. Started that a few years ago, keeping that tradition. It continues to sell out. It's a great way to build momentum for our event, and Venus Williams is such a global recognizable figure, whether you're a tennis player or not, and she's been such a great champion on and off the court. So she'll be here playing against Madison Keys, a young American who eventually will win a major at some point. She's just got such a big game. So that is going to be something we're continuing. In terms of being able to add women, I think we just have to wait and see. Moving across the street here, 30 feet, we're going to learn a lot this year. And if we have the ability to expand to, you know, a full women's event or to do some other creative things, one of which is this year we've added a second exhibition on our Monday night that we've always billed as our celebration of American tennis. And this year we're bringing back Andy Roddick. Andy's the last American male to be ranked one in the world. And he's going to play Robbie Ginepri, who's a retired pro from the Metro Atlanta area, who's now on tour coaching players, and that's a near sellout. So just different themes every night. And you know, one other thing we do that's very unique is Tuesday night is our college night, in which we just believe of our youth coming out and having big dreams. And this year, Cole Bromley from Georgia Tech is going to get his chance to play for real at night, and we call that the Rocky Balboa of tennis. So he gets to have his dream come true, and we'll be doing the draw later this afternoon, and he's going to find out who he gets to play. So just some examples for your listeners of really how we're trying to be more than just tennis.
On the waitfor.com hotline, been spending some time with Eddie Gonzalez, tournament director and the BB&T Atlanta Open. All right, folks, we're going to get to see. We just got through watching Wimbledon. Obviously, John Isner's back once again. Big fella, popular here, Georgia Bulldog. But there are also some other Americans you want to watch for who could possibly have some breakthroughs on the way to New York that will be playing here this week.
You're right, Sam. I mean, we got a really great loaded field. We've got the veterans like John Isner, our five-time champ. We have the Bryan brothers, who are so popular in Atlanta because of Alton and USGA doubles. But then just look, Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic aren't going to play forever. And they've been great ambassadors of our sport, but there's an opportunity for a lot of these young players on tour to break through, starting with Francis Tiafoe. Young American, had a great year, been as high as 28. He's coming. We've got Riley Opelka, 6'11". He won his first ATP Tour event this year, so plays very similar to John, except a little bit of a better mover. And then we've got some other young Americans, Taylor Fritz, and then there's a kid playing today, Tommy Paul. And these are names that maybe your listeners are not familiar with, but I can tell you if they were to come out and see them play, they get a chance to see them potentially before they go on to, you know, bigger and better things. And another nice thing about our event is our worst seat is 15 rows from the court. So if you're spending $10 for a qualifying ticket or $29 for a main draw ticket, being 15 rows from the court's like being at a box at any other major sporting event.
Looking forward to that, and people can come out, enjoy it. Like you said, it's kids' weekend, so you're inviting the young folks to come out, be around tennis and touch it. I think that's the great thing about tennis in our city, the way we do the tournament. It's here in the middle of town, in the heart of the city, and it's accessible to everybody.
Exactly. As I said, Atlantic Station's been an absolute great partner. It's easy to get in and get out. I mean, players walk to the restaurants or over to Publix. Our fans, very easy to park. And so any of your listeners have never been, as I said, give us a shot. And tickets still available on select sessions at dbtatlantaopen.com.
Now, you're busy. You got to go and do a ribbon cutting or something. Well, you got to cut. You got to cut the ribbon?
Yep.
I always got time for you guys. I always got time.
All right. I'll be over to see you a little later on today.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day. Look forward to seeing you out here.
Eddie, right. Thank you very much, man.
All right, that is Eddie Gonzalez, the tournament director from the BB&T Atlanta Open over at Atlantic Station, just about an 8-iron away from where we are.
It really must be, and I guess, you know, this thing is long-term. It's doing fine. But there's an ebb and flow to all of these sports where you have individuals playing, where for a period of time it's the women dominating and for a period of time it's men. Now it's women.
Yeah.
And these guys don't have that.
Especially on the American side.
Man,
on the American side, we got some American women that, including a young 15-year-old who's born and
right,
grew up.
Right, so you had Coco coming here and Sloan and all of them coming here, man.
Believe me, the conversation will be had this week.
We would have 10th Street paved. Believe it or not, we got football talk up next. Can't wait. And college. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Yeah, get rid of their backup quarterback, right? I mean, that's part of the plan. But they do a tremendous job, and we haven't finished the way we need to. And to be honest with you, a lot of that goes right here to me. We got to do a better job finishing the game and stay on top of it. And they get some credit for that because they've got a good football program. They've won a lot of football games, and they're a physical team. What I think we've shown is that we can match that physicality. We haven't finished that physicality, but we're not getting shoved around out there. And that's part of the deal against Alabama. You got to be able to go out and play physical.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. That, of course, Kirby Smart. And we are joined, me and Sam, by Chris Goforth, who's going to be running point here in just about 45 minutes or so on College Football Game Day here with John Chuckery. Of course, actually, you're working with Chuckery. Are you running point or is he?
No, it'll be me. It's me on this show. It's me on this show.
Okay. And every time I hear Kirby talk about, and I'm going to acquiesce to you guys because both of you two have covered these media days. But for me, when I hear Kirby Smart talking about Alabama, I go back to that national championship game and wonder what else could he have done to beat Alabama, because it took a fluke play Tua coming in because they did what they had to do against the guy. Tua comes in, they sack him for a 13-yard loss.
Yep.
And then he turns around and makes a deal with the devil or something. I don't know how the hell he completed that pass, but Georgia's defense, you know, I won't say went to sleep for a little bit, but they got beat. But what else could Kirby have done in that game to win that game? Because he came back. I mean, it was punch for punch with Nick Saban. So when I hear him talk about, you know, things that you learn, I'm like, dude, you did everything you could do. I don't know what else you could do differently.
Well, that was
in that game.
That was a national championship game, but you go back to the conference championship game last year, and they switch up quarterbacks and they bring Jalen Hurts in.
Oh, I mean, they've gone toe to toe with him for 2 years in a row now.
Yeah,
you know, that's one of the things when people talk about Jake Fromm, I'm always like, look, here's a guy that has stared down the best teams in the country, or one of the best teams in the country, the last 2 years, and has gone toe-to-toe with them. He stared down two top recruits coming in, thought they would have his job. He stared both of those guys down and took the job. So in terms of what Kirby has to do, I thought 2 years ago, I mean, they did, as you said, Greg, they kind of did everything they could do. Last year, though, Sam, you got to be smarter in terms of some of those play calls, you know, especially the fake punt. I mean, you can't, you just can't, wrong time, wrong situation, and certainly the wrong opponent to do that against.
Yeah, best thing we're watching. And you just back from a wonderful Hoover. Thoughts of things there?
Hot, muggy, mosquitoes were massive.
Well, wait, reset here. Get this man a drink of water. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. If you're just joining us, we're going to talk a little college football here with a couple guys who have been a part of the media days that are taking place or just took place. And I want to get your thoughts on being a part of that and what it's like when you listen to these coaches. We're joined by Chris Goforth, who's going to be joined by John Chuckery here at the top of the hour, and we are going to give you the first – is this the first one of the year?
College football game
day. The inaugural college football game day right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You guys, talk about just the overall experience of being at Hoover. Chris, we'll start with you because you were just there, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of like being, I guess, in the center of the sports world for a couple of days. You know, Sam, used to, this would always fall during SEC media days, and I think this is something that Mike Slive, and when he was commissioner, I think this was a plan, that this was always held the week of the baseball All-Star game, when there's nothing else going on in sports. So here you go. Now you're the SEC. You're front and center where you're going to lead Sports Center for at least one, if not two, of those days. You're going to be on the front cover of the USA Today. You're going to get the national media attention by doing it that way. So I thought that was a brilliant move. Now this year that wasn't so much the case. I didn't feel like being there this year that there was as many media members there as I have seen or felt in years past. I don't know what the reason was behind that. I didn't feel like the numbers were as, you know, you didn't wait in a lot of lines to be able to eat lunch. You didn't have, you know, you weren't crammed in your workspace trying to get stuff done, as I have seen in years past there. So I didn't. Now, I do know that the SEC has kind of tightened up their reins a little bit on who they're giving credentials to.
Okay.
So that may have something to do with it as well. The one thing that I loved about this year is we didn't have some, and not just with the SEC, but I think college football in general, with the ACC going on and the Big 12 media days going on, it was about what was going on the field. You know, last year at the ACC, remember when Larry Fedora tried to say that it was you know, the decline or whatever it was in football was the kids participating in football was contributing to the decline in our society and all that. You know, Phil, I was there the year that Philip Fulmer, they tried to serve him with a subpoena and he wouldn't accept the subpoena. So they literally tossed the subpoena through the car window into his lap. Okay. So there wasn't any of that. This year it was about stuff going on the field, and I like that. My favorite part about this, though, Sam, is we get a chance to hear from these players, and we don't get that opportunity. We hear from those coaches, you know, sometimes maybe too much, but it's a great opportunity to hear from those players. And, you know, again, we don't get that opportunity a lot. So that's my favorite part of it.
Yeah, sometimes the players will give you what you want. Sometimes the players will give you a little more of a story. I think we got more of that from the players this year. I think we had a little exchange, even from the ACC to the SEC days, the Clemson guys to the Alabama guys.
Right.
You know, and that's the coaches won't always give you that. The coaches talk as much as they can in giving you the least that they can give you.
Right. Talk in circles.
That's the game you get from those guys. But the players this year, I think that was the most thing that I enjoyed, just observing it and following along with it, was that the players from Clemson and Alabama had a chance to get some barbs in at each other through media day. It's good stuff. It's early in the year, and it's no secret that they're the teams that everybody's watching. We also know the guys who are chasing them, though. We know that Georgia is just a step away from putting it all together and being right there with Clemson and Alabama. So it's a fun time. I like the idea that it's coming back to Atlanta next year. I don't know how you are with that. I don't know how people reacted to that SEC Media Days. They were here last year. It was different. To me, it's more for fans to do. That's not much of a fan event over there, although they have that one little bullpen that they herd everybody into.
Right.
And all the Alabama people dress up like Bear Bryant and stuff. That's a zoo within itself. Here, at least they can go visit the Hall of Fame and see something. They got to pay to park. But, I mean, what kind of feedback did you get from the fact that it's going to come back here next year?
Well, I think from a fan experience, being here is much better for the fans. I mean, if you want to go take your kid, if you're a big Georgia fan and you want to take your son, your daughter, whatever, and you want to go hear Kirby speak, you've got that opportunity, or you'll have that opportunity. So from a fan standpoint, I thought Atlanta was a lot more fan-friendly. I thought the layout, at least last year, it was a little maybe too spread too far apart from the standpoint of the working media, where you've got, you know, Radio Row is here, and then you've got what felt like about a mile hike to be able to get to where the coaches were speaking. And I didn't get a chance last year, and I was only down for one day last year. I didn't get a chance to see all the little breakout rooms that they have, because that's the other part about this is a lot of times a coach may say something in one of the smaller rooms talking to the radio or the electronic media people or the TV people that he doesn't say on that big stage in front of the sports writers. So you're able to kind of catch these guys in multiple places if you're able to follow them. Last year I thought that was kind of difficult. I hope that's something that, you know, the folks with whether that's the Hall of Fame or whoever's involved in putting this together locally, will kind of take into consideration.
That is Chris Goforth. He's going to be running point on College Football Game Day, joining Sam and Greg here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. By the way, the inaugural College Football Game Day, which comes up at the top of the hour. All right, listen, we've heard this phrase throughout our life. You don't want to be the guy who follows the guy. You don't want to be the man who follows the man. Word it however you want. But it gives you reason to pause and think about why Jalen Hurts, we know why he left, but the location. He's going to Oklahoma, where they've had two Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks leave. Why would he go there? Well, I'll just ask you guys, your thoughts on that location as a landing spot for him.
It's not about the location. It's about the guy that's calling plays, standing on the sideline wearing a headset. That's the reason why you go to Oklahoma. You know, Lincoln Riley is offensively right now in college football. Who's better?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's anybody better than him as far as from a play calling, from a scheme standpoint. I think the skill set that Jalen Hurts has, is it Baker? I don't think so. I don't think the arm is as good as Baker's, but I think his skill set fits in exactly with what Lincoln Riley wants. I think it's a great fit for him. Look, Baker transfers there. He wins a Heisman Trophy. They had the guy that took his place they thought was going to be a baseball player.
Yeah, Kyler.
And Kyler Murray comes in there. He starts at quarterback, and he wins a Heisman Trophy as a transfer. Now they got another transfer in Jalen Hurts. So can he win the Heisman? I don't know. I think that offense is going to be good, though.
Common bond between those three quarterbacks is all three are incredible competitors.
Yes.
All three are incredible competitors. They find a way to beat you.
Sam, Jalen Hurts doesn't get enough credit. You know, people talk about, oh, he's so athletic, he runs so well, he's da-da-da. That kid doesn't get enough credit
for the smarts that he has. His daddy's a football coach. He grew up around this stuff.
Yep.
And nobody talks about him from the cerebral part of his game. And, yes, it is easy to fall in love with the athleticism. I get that. But, yeah, I think he's a little more cerebral in his thinking of the game, more so than what a lot of people want to give him credit
for. So he doesn't wear his emotions on his sleeve. He doesn't have bravado. He's not as outgoing and over the top as what we saw with Baker. Kyler, not so much. But is it because of that he's being
I think his daddy. I think his daddy would jerk a knot in his rear end, as my mama used to say. Jerk a knot in your rear end if you act that way.
What happens with Tua, with Alabama, without him there to push him? Impression, you know, he always says, you know, you got somebody put at Alabama. That's one of the biggest keys to that program's success. There's somebody else every day in practice that's pushing you harder than what you're going to see on Saturday afternoon.
You know, I talked about that a little bit this week with John and Hugh, and the fact that I think now the way college football is, you got to recruit a quarterback every year. You know, you got to go get the best quarterback you can every single year. Simply because you never know when somebody's going to go. I mean, Georgia's got a commitment right now from a quarterback, I think, from Florida, who is a, you know, top 10 quarterback in the country. That's the type of guy you got to have coming in, because Jake Fromm's gone after this year. So, now, I do know the kid that is behind him right now, Mac Wilson, that's the backup at Alabama. Saban talked a lot about him this week and about how, the improvement and the progress and the growth they've seen out of him. Now, how much of that is Saban blowing smoke? How much of that is maybe him trying to build up this guy's confidence a little bit? I think all the above probably factors in.
This past week, some conversation was had. We don't have time to get into this. Maybe you guys will touch on it. But for the rest of his life, Jim Harbaugh is going to have something in his sleep that's going to drive him crazy, because he's never going to get a shot at beating Urban, because Urban's gone. He can take shots at him and say that controversy followed him, but in his 5 years, he's 0 for Urban.
You think Urban's done?
I think Urban's
done.
Where else could he go?
He's going to end up at... He will be the head coach at USC next year.
On the sidelines again, you see him there?
Yes, he will be the head coach at USC next year, unless things fall apart quickly at Notre Dame. Then I think he could be at Notre Dame. He said Notre Dame's his dream job, but I think USC, there's enough money and glamour around USC to get him in L.A.
Wow.
Man, he's on the other side of the Mississippi, too, so maybe that will work. I don't know. I don't see him on the sidelines again, but maybe you know what we're talking about. Listen, you want to hear more college football talk? Coming up top of the hour, it's the inaugural College Football Game Day. You heard with Chris Goforth here, John Chuckery, and I saw Mr. Fricky walking around.
With a Nebraska shirt on. What's up with that?
Power Pack Show. This is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Line drive, deep right center field, first pitch. The ball is off the bricks. Riley scores. Acuna slides in with a rocket to right.
And that's how they got it done last night. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Braves winners, comeback winners.
Yes.
Which is what they needed.
Scared us for a minute.
After a week where just, you know, you shook your head. I wasn't around for it. You guys were... I was gone and watching them from afar and talking to folks. I leave town and all of a sudden you're losing by nearly double digits and all that stuff.
13-1 and I mean, games were over early. Like, it was painful stuff to watch. Glad you got back, man. You got back just in time. They said get these guys turned around and win it again.
Yeah, they still almost gave you heart, you know.
Oh, it's bad.
Nails were trimmed down last night too.
Yes, but we still pulled it out. Now walk-off style is what this team has done so much of. I think the 16th time this season Braves have won in their last at-bat. That's phenomenal to know that they're going to continue to be that kind of way. Now you want those starters to get up and have a great start today. And we got Mike Soroka starting tonight's game, looking for his 11th win. That's something. Man. All-star Mike Soroka. So we're looking for good things again tonight.
Listen, the good news is, because of a 6-game lead in the division, you can try stuff. You can make some adjustments that you just want to see if they're going to work. You have the luxury of doing some things that in years past, or if you're, you know, in some kind of race, you don't get a chance to do.
Right.
You haven't had the ability to. Now you have that ability. So that's why I'm not worried about two games hiccups or a series here loss or at the end of July, beginning of August, I don't mind. Let them work on what they're working on. Let these guys make their adjustments at the plate if they're struggling a little bit or they just don't feel comfortable. We want them where they need to be in September.
No doubt.
Right now, I'm cool with, you know, a couple losses here, a couple losses there. So-and-so is having some issues pitching. We're going to go to this person in the bullpen. Let's see what we got out there. Because that's the stuff that makes you crazy.
Yeah.
And it's always the same. Listen, it's every team. Every team's bullpen pops out gray hairs. Right? They just do. That's.
Well, we've seen that, Greg. We've seen some losses this year. But, you know, to lose three in a row and two of those wins, 13 runs. Oh.
I'd rather have that, though.
We're not used to that.
Yeah, but I'd rather have that than a one-loss game. I'd much rather have that because you know the wheels are off. It's the ones that you lose by one or two, and you sit there all night long. If you're playing and you played in that game or you're managing, you scratch your head, you beat yourself up. We've heard ad nauseum players and coaches slash managers talk about the losses in their career more than the victories. Unless it's a Super Bowl win or a World Series win, championship win, something like that. But throughout the career, not only will they remember those losses, they'll give you the breakdown of how it happened.
Because you know they had chances. You had chances and you didn't capitalize and you didn't convert. And, you lay awake at night staring at the ceiling.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Again, we had this extra hour this morning. Usually it's filled by Dan Kamal and Dr. Dale Yake, Sports Insiders, but for whatever reason, they was gone.
Yeah, and so this hour we talk tennis, the top of the hour. We just talked some college football, and you had started a conversation about the man in the khakis up in Ann Arbor.
Well, actually, you started it in
the bullpen.
The bullpen. Yeah, because you came in waiting to bring up something Michigan-related because you knew –
Yeah.
You like to poke the stick at the house. At my house, man.
At the house. You know, you got to get Michigan winning.
What did you think?
I mean, can he win now that Urban's gone? Is he finally going to beat Ohio State?
Be that as it may, it doesn't matter. It's the fact that he's not beating Urban Meyer.
No, that's what
I think will drive him crazy.
I think the Michigan fans right now say Urban's gone, whatever. They want to beat Ohio State.
Oh, they always want to beat Ohio State.
I think that's what they want more than anything else. And they were totally embarrassed last year by a team that was supposed to be all that. Just
can't blame it on Brady Hoke anymore.
No,
you can't blame it on Brady and his players. So yeah, this is the time. But it should have happened by now. And the fact that it hasn't, and the fact that he said what he said, this all spurred on by somebody asked him a question. He didn't just hold a press conference and take a shot at Urban Meyer. He told the truth, but because he's had the lack of success against Urban that he's had since he's been at Michigan, it looks like sour grapes. You know, somebody asked him about Urban, you know, you can win and everything that you just brought up going into this season, and then asked about the man, and he just made a comment about, listen, great coach, or however he worded it, I'm paraphrasing, but then ended it with, and controversy is following him, you know, throughout his career. And he was right about that, and he's leaving another program. You know, kind of in, you know, with people looking at him with a skunk eye.
Do you think about what, and I've heard a lot about people refer to what Chris Kofol just said about him, that he's not done coaching. We will see him coach again.
His heart has got to explode if he goes on the sidelines again. Given the pressure that this dude walks around with on a regular basis, he can't be that completely removed from the stuff that's following him. You talk about somebody who's got baggage. Right? So he goes wherever he goes next, okay? What's the spotlight going to be like on him when it comes to recruiting and what his players do? And it's going to be unfair in the minds of a lot of people. They're getting scrutiny like no other big-time program. But don't you think that's going to be the normal wherever he lands, if he lands somewhere else?
Sure, sure, and rightfully so. You know, that will be something that people will watch for, and maybe that's something that's going to haunt him on the recruiting trail. But I think a place like Southern Cal is attractive because, once again, just like at Florida, all the talent you have right outside your door. You know, I mean, sure, he's a national brand. He's going to attract certain caliber players that will want to come and play for him. But I think Southern Cal's thing is just like the schools in Florida. They're having trouble getting the best talent from their own backyard. And that's what's happening out there with them. I mean, Southern Cal and UCLA haven't been a factor in a while.
Why hasn't he ever attempted to do what Pete Carroll did? And just, listen, you did it on the college level. Step up to the pros. Let's see what you got.
That's a different animal.
I mean, it's a different animal, but why do you think he has it, of all people? Why has Nick Saban did it?
Yeah.
Failed, came back. Yeah. He hasn't even tried
it. And maybe that's why.
Harbaugh's tried it.
Maybe that's why, though. He saw what happened with Saban and said, you know what? No thanks. And as long as he knows college doors are open.
Why not look at Pete Carroll and go, hey, I can do that. I can do what he did.
Nah. Yeah, I think he likes that idea of that. And he knows that more college doors that will open for him. And he's right.
Yeah, we'll see. This is the beginning of college football talk, right?
Yeah.
But the inaugural college football game day starts in about 10 minutes. Stick around for that. A shot at some jobs up next in the industry. Casting call on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.